wealth or this property that is gained through war, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's called war booty.
Yes.
Or these war spoils.
Yes.
So, but Fadak here is interesting because this Fadak, there was no formal war that had taken place. And out of result of that war, Fadak was gained. This is not what happened. Fadak was given
yes.
to the Messenger of Allah. And so the general public did not have a hand or a part in Fadak because it's not public property. It is private property of the Messenger.
Yes.
And he gives it to whom he wants. And mm-hmm. in this case, he gave it to his daughter, Lady Fatima yes. Zahra, alayhi salam.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah.
Shaykh Rouhani, maybe Atiya and Jaber didn't know that their tradition of Arba'in walk will be one day welcomed by millions of people across the world. And now, many centuries after this walk of Atiya and Jaber ibn Abdullah al-Ansari toward the holy shrine of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, paying ziyara to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, we could see nowadays millions of people, Muslims, non-Muslims, Shiite, non-Shiites, are paying visit and are walking on feet towards the holy shrine of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. What was exactly the story of Atiya and Jaber?
Of course, it was, of course, one of the very great events happened in the life of Atiya. In addition to that, another point that I want to mention here is really significant is that Atiya was among the supporters of Mukhtar al-Saqafi after the event of Ashura and Karbala. So Mukhtar al-Saqafi tried to take revenge of this event from the Ali Umayyah or the Umayyads. One of the things that happened that is really nice to be mentioned here is that Mukhtar al-Saqafi sent a group of warriors, we can say, or fighters, to the city of Mecca to safeguard Muhammad ibn Hanafiyyah, son of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam, and Ibn Abbas. The point which is really nice is here is that when they actually rescued, we can say, or saved Muhammad ibn Hanafiyyah, because Abdullah ibn Zubayr was very much decisive to burn them. And that's why when they actually saved him from Abdullah ibn Zubayr, then they asked from Muhammad ibn Hanafiyyah, the point is here, I want to attract the attention of the people here to hear this point, that they asked Muhammad ibn Hanafiyyah to let this Atiya and the other people to kill, Abdullah ibn Zubayr.
Mm-hmm.
You see,
okay.
Abdullah ibn Zubayr decided to burn them.
Yes.
And then when they free him from this, let's say, problem,
yes.
they asked him to let us to kill Abdullah ibn Zubayr. Okay. Now it's very easy to kill him.
Yes.
But they didn't allow them. Why? Because they said that it is because of the position and the status of the Holy Kaaba.
Uh-huh.
We have to save it,
okay.
you know. Look, this is Muhammad al-Hanafiyyah. This is Ali Hashim.
Yes.
What they did with Ali Zubayr and the other people. See, later when the army of Yazid arrived in Mecca, they
yes.
burned the holy
yes.
city of Kaaba.
Okay.
And they hanged the dead body of Abdullah ibn Zubayr for many days.
Yes.
In the door of in the entrance door of the city.
Yes.
Look, this is the very great difference between Ali Umayyah and Ali Hashim.
The different looks that they
okay,
had.
Exactly.
Divine look and worldly look.
Exactly.
That's right. Okay.
So that's why we see that later in the history, millions of the people, as you rightly mentioned, became the follower of Atiyah.
Mm-hmm.
Became the follower of the Ahlul Bayt, became the follower of the Sunnah of Ahlul Bayt. While, as you see, many of the great companions of the Holy Prophet, the great narrators, muhaddisin, mufassirin, scholars, were killed, were murdered brutally and very severely by Muawiyah to curse Ahl al-Bayt. And many of the hands were cut because of the ziyarah of Abdullah al-Husayn. Yes. As many times the holy, let's say, shrine of Abu Abdullah والسلام, was destroyed by many of the caliphs, Marwani caliphs and the others,
yes,
to stop the people from following of the Ahl al-Bayt. But you know, as Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran mentioned that sometimes you want to blow on the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لِيُطْفِئُ نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. But it is the light of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that finally enlightened the whole world, the whole universe.
Yes.
As we see, the Arba'een is now enlightening the whole, let's say, universe, the whole world. It is I think the greatest or the biggest, we can say, gathering.
Biggest procession.
Procession,
done.
Done in the whole world.
Yes.
And we do not have any other, let's say, example of such a gathering or such a march and procession. These are, I think, the hidden secrets of the event of Ashura and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam and their seerah. It is the same as the Holy Prophet, as the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he conquered Mecca. He told the people that you are free, you're safe.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who, let's say, seek refuge to the house of that person, that Abu Sufyan, they are safe,
yes,
you know, in the Holy
yes.
Kaaba. So this way, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam protected the hurma,
yes,
or the dignity of Kaaba,
yes,
and his children, and the Ahl al-Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam also protected him. And Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam went from Medina to Mecca to be saved because they believed that Mecca is safe. But unfortunately, Yazid decided to kill him in the Holy Kaaba.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he went to, let's say, Karbala. I want to just attract the attention of our audience to these historical events, to take lessons from the seerah of the Prophet and his Ahlul Bayt, and from the seerah of Abu Sufyan and the other, let's say, people. Whom should we follow nowadays?
And the bravery in supporting Imam Ali alayhi salam, we know that at that time Umayyads had power. So here and there they invited different people and the rulers in the cities to say curse upon Ali alayhi salam and his descendants. So Atiyah was one of them who opposed them. He was whipped 400 times. His beard, you know, were cut out, you know, and that was the sign of disgrace on that time when you're cutting the beard of somebody, okay, on that time. So they tolerated all this. They visited a long, long way from Medina and from Kufa to the holy shrine of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And nowadays, as you said, we could find this tradition of Arba'in Walk because of the sacrifices that people like Atiyah and Jabir ibn Abdullah and Salim made on that time. Sayyid Nagwi, isn't it?
Of course, right? These are the, I guess we could say, perhaps the first companions to go and do this ziyarat of Arba'in.
Yes.
What's interesting, though, in this quote that we ran across, you know, it says that together with Jabir, Atiyah is saying this, he says that together with Jabir, we went to visit the grave of Imam Husayn alayhi salam, which kind of, it speaks about something very subtle, and, you know, Sheikh Rouhani can also kind of add to the discussion here. But the idea that there was a grave there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't say that we went there and we buried Imam Husayn alayhi salam, which means that before this Arba'in, this grave of Imam Husayn alayhi salam and his companions was there that they went to visit.
Imam As-Sajjad did so, I think,
right,
with the help of a tribe, Bani Asad tribe, I think.
Right. And so this is because sometimes, you know, historically people get confused or because of things that are said from the pulpit, sometimes people get confused and then, you know, the reality gets hidden.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so Atiyah here, he says that, you know, when they arrived in Karbala, they went, Jabir ibn Abdul Ansari went to the Euphrates, they performed a ritual ghusl and then they visited the grave of Imam Husayn alayhi salam in
That's
a particular
right.
manner.
Okay.
And I think this sincerity of individuals like Atiyah, that sincerity has come forward in history, where now you see well over 25, 30 million people who also go to visit the grave of Imam Husayn alayhi salam
in
Karbala.
And as Imam Ali alayhi salam named him as Atiyah, a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now Arba'in Walk is a gift again from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the true lovers of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and the Shiite of Ahl al-Bayt. Thank you very much, Sayyid Mahdi Nawawi and Shaykh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding the life of Atiyat ibn Sa'd ibn Junad al-Awfi, who alongside with Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari paid visit on the Arba'in day to the holy shrine of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Don't leave me, 'cause maybe I won't get to see you again. It hurts me to think that this could be goodbye, my old friend. For many, many years, you gave reasons to keep looking within. You bruise me, but leave me more in love with the one that was sent to take me higher, away from desire. And I've spent 10 nights in.
The land of fires.
This is the story of poison and decline, of criminal affairs and corrupted politicians. This is the story of a raped land, a story of death, black smoke and stinging throats. It's the story of brave mothers and of a frontier priest. The story of men that never surrender, even when everyone else thinks they're crazy. And of a journalist that names names. This is the story of doctors pleading with the government, and of a government that keeps the evidence of a disaster hidden. In southern Italy, between the provinces of Naples and Caserta, the environmental damage has occurred in the form of waste. Not simple waste, but special industrial waste. This is a complex story which links organized crime, industries, and politics. The story begins with toxic waste left in the countryside and burned day and night. That place is called the Land of Fires. Campania is a grazing land, a paradise for agriculture. Ancient Romans called it Campania Felix, the happy land, because in a few square kilometers, this region combined prosperity and a mild climate, sea and volcanic soils. It was one of the world's most beautiful and fertile places. Now, it's only a poisoned, sick land which remains. This is the story of the biggest mass poisoning ever known in the history of the Western world. Organized crime plays a huge role in this story. The Camorra, one of the oldest and biggest criminal groups of Italy, runs and regulates illegal waste disposal, controls the territory and organizes burnings. These burnings, however, are just the visible aspect. The real issue is the burial of dangerous materials. Huge holes in the ground are filled with industrial waste of every kind. This has happened in Campania for more than 20 years. 400,000 trucks have crossed Italy from north to south, carrying more than 10 million tons of toxic waste. Everything began in the 1980s. The story of Campania is first of all a story of betrayal, Streets are covered in rubbish, mountains of waste invade the cities. However, as it happens for toxic burnings, this is just the more visible problem, and also a way to distract attention from what has actually happened. While everyone talks about the emergency regarding urban waste, hundreds of trucks pour tons of toxic industrial waste in the countryside, the birth of eco-mafia. The principal players in this are politicians, the Camorra, and the barons of heavy industry. More than 6,000 burnings in only 6 months. 110 dump sites financed with 148 million euros. 70 unauthorized dumpings. More than 2,558 potentially polluted sites. Campania is a territory under attack. The Italian state has issued, embarrassingly late, a mapping of vulnerable territories. The percentage of dangerous sites is said to be around 2%, but this figure is laughable. The true story is this. In Campania, for more than 25 years, soil, air, and water have been absorbing carcinogenic substances, dioxin, heavy metals, benzene, mercury, arsenic, a continuous attack, a real biocide in broad daylight. The first warning signs of this environmental catastrophe with public participation was evident in the fruits of the land, then in turn with the animals. The environmental and landscape capital that is typical of the Campania region is slowly disappearing. Apart from nature itself, by now devastated, it is agriculture and breeding that bear the brunt of it. An immense damage on a biological level. But this is also an economic disaster, damaging the image of breeders and rural enterprises. Within the story of Campania, there is also the story of a mystery, a secret that has been hidden for years, and that for years was buried in the drawers and consciences of the Italian Parliament. Carmine Schiavone, a supergrass from the Casalesi Camorra clan, told the Parliamentary Committee of Inquiry on Waste everything about what was happening in Campania. He named names and places. He said, in 20 years, everyone there will be dead. This was 1997. His words were covered under the Official Secrets Act and have been kept hidden until today. 20 years ago, the Italian government already knew everything. In order to understand what is happening in the land of fires, we have to count. Count the people who died from cancer. Count the decimated families. This is the story of an Italian epidemic, a shocking plague clearly shown by medical records. In Campania, the risk of lung cancer is 30% higher than the national average, and the average mortality risk is 9% higher for men and 12% higher for women. Congenital abnormalities have increased by 83%. But the real massacre concerns children. They die at 2, 6, 12 years old, and in Naples, pediatric cancer institute beds are never empty. What happens when everything around you is nothing but destroyed land, poisoned animals, countless deaths? What happens if a criminal, cowardly past gives birth to a present dominated by fear and doubt? Campania is a broken place. It has at the same time been betrayed by the state, an atrocious experiment carried out by the Camorra and irreparably damaged. It is an unknown future. But what happens if an entire population rises up to say no more? On November the 16th, 2013, Naples was invaded by an enormous parade crossing the city in the rain. For the first time after 20 years of lies and poison, the citizens of the Land of Fires have come together to say stop to the biocide. Everyone was there, associations, committees, but also mothers, artists, doctors, researchers, and students. Over 120,000 people. This is also the story of a revolution, a flooding river that has burst its banks and is asking for truth and justice.
Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us the sun.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
You are a true God.
To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to another session of The Last Savior. In this program, we discuss about Imam Zaman alayhi salam, and we try to get the most updated information about Imam of our time from our experts. And today in our studio, we have had the pleasure to invite Dr. Karimi. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Dr. Karimi, you told us in the previous episode that we have this heavenly call, which is one of the signs of reappearance of Imam Mahdi, ajallahu ta'ala faraja. But at the same time, there's also this satanic call. And to avoid the confusion between the two, you're going to add to our knowledge today, what are the features of satanic call so that we do not get deviated?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, who is the caller? The caller is Iblis. I mean, we are talking about the same Iblis who did not prostrate before Adam and Eve, I mean, the forefather of all these Satans.
Right.
The narrations read, for example, Sautul Mal'un Iblis. This is the voice of the accursed Satan, but, I mean, not any normal Satan. We're talking about Iblis. Sautu Iblis Al-La'in, or Yunadi Iblis La'anahullah, or Sa'ada Iblis Al-La'in. So these narrations, at least 10 narrations, refer to the fact that the caller is Iblis. And of course, in some narrations, we have the word ash-shaytan, for example, fayunadi ash-shaytan, or inna ash-shaytan yunadi, or inna ash-shaytan la yadahukum hatta yunadi. But when we analyze all the narrations, we come to this conclusion that it is not, I mean, any Satan. We are right. Only referring to the main Satan, the biggest Satan, that is Iblis. We know that the name Iblis in our narrations is given specifically to that jinn, to that Satan who was with the rank of the angels in that realm. And then he was asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with all the angels, to prostrate, but he refused, and from that time he became the main enemy of the human beings. So he is Iblis that we are talking about.
All right.
So the caller is also himself, not one of his, for example, offsprings.
Okay.
The second point is about the place of this satanic call. When it comes to the heavenly call, as the name suggests, is from heaven. But the narrations talk about this satanic call coming from the earth. For example, we have As-sawtu thani min al-ard. This second call is from the earth.
Okay.
Al-Ghiba by Nu'mani, page 262, hadith number 13. Yunadi Iblis min al-ard. Iblis would call out from the earth. Al-Irshad, page 358. Also in Kamal al-Din, volume 2, page 555, Yunadi Iblis La'anahullah min al-Ard.
Right.
These narrations refer to the fact that one of the differences between the heavenly call and the satanic call is that the heavenly call is from the heaven and the satanic call is from the earth.
Okay.
But the point is that there are two narrations according to which the satanic call would be also from the heaven.
Okay.
Let me also discuss about these two narrations. The narration, one of them reads, سعد إبليس اللعين حتى يتوارى من الأرض في جو السماء. I mean, Iblis would go up to the heaven and he will call from the heaven.
Okay.
الغيبة by نعماني, page 269. Or سعد إبليس في الهواء حتى يتوارى عن أهل الأرض. He become hidden from the people of the earth. He would go to the heaven. And then, ثم ينادي, then he will call out.
All right. So now the one difference was that heavenly call is from the heavens and the satanic call is from the earth. But now there's another narration saying that the satanic call is also from the heaven. We'll discuss more about that with you after a short break. The listeners, stay tuned.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand-year-old
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is The Last Savior. We are with Dr. Karimi talking about the heavenly call and the satanic call and the differences between the two. Yes, Dr. Karimi.
What is the solution? I mean, when it comes to the place of the satanic call, the majority of the narrations say that it is from the earth. Two narrations say that it is from the heaven. There are two solutions. First of all, we may ignore these two narrations because of the fact that the first group of the narrations outnumber these two narrations. So we can come to this conclusion that the place of the satanic call is from the earth. The second explanation by some group of scholars is that the satanic call might be also from the heaven. But because of the fact that it is a false call, it is introduced as an earthly call.
Okay.
Now, this is what we can understand from the narration, that when something is introduced as heavenly or divine and the other thing is introduced as earthly, it means that the first one is with the truth, is the true call.
Is divine.
Is divine. And the second one is with falsehood, is
right.
False. So this is another explanation regarding the place of the call.
Right.
When it comes to the time of this satanic call, again, we have different narrations, and we had the same point regarding the heavenly call about the time.
Right.
We said that it would be in the holy month of Ramadan and the night before 23rd. But whether it is at night or during the day, we said that there are different possibilities. The same is true about the satanic call and the time for the satanic call. But the point is that for sure it would follow the heavenly call. I'm not going to, mention all the narrations that we have about the time for the satanic call. But the point is that, first of all, the satanic call would follow the heavenly call. So if the heavenly call is on the night before 23rd of the holy month of Ramadan or in the following day, then we need to wait for the satanic call after that, on the 23rd or 24th day of the holy month of Ramadan. This is the first point. And the second point is that if you remember, and our dear listeners remember, when it comes to the time of the heavenly call, we said that some narrations call it to happen at night, some call it to happen early in the morning. We said that one of the possibilities is that it is because of different horizons in different regions.
Right.
For some people, it is at night. For some people, it is during the day.
As there's day in some regions of the world and night in some of the
world. Exactly. And that is the same regarding the satanic call.
Right.
So it can be during the day for some people, during the night for some people, but the very important point is that it would happen and follow the heavenly call.
Okay.
So, it would be after 23rd of the Holy Month of Ramadan.
Okay, so so we have some very clear points. First, it's happening after the heavenly call, and second, it's happening after the 23rd of Ramadan. All right.
Exactly.
Dr. Karimi will discuss more with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned. Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is The Last Savior. We have Dr. Karimi with us in the studio and who is helping us to understand the features of the satanic call so that we do not get deviated when it follows the heavenly call, which is one of the signs of reappearance. Well, Dr. Karimi, what is the content or message of this satanic call?
We know that as we discuss about two signs, two other signs, different signs for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. The main enemy of the Imam at the time of his reappearance, who has prepared his army before the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, is Sufyani. Sufyani would gather a very large army to, first of all, kill the Shia. We talked about the narrations. He will kill many people in Syria, in Iraq.
Okay.
And his main aim is to kill the followers of the Shia school of thought and finally to kill Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. But we said that he would be finally defeated by Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. He himself would be killed by the Imam himself or one of his soldiers. And a group of his army would be swallowed up in the land called Baida. And this is another definite sign for the reappearance of the Imam. One point regarding the satanic claim is that Satan would try to tell the people to help Sufyani as opposed to the army of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
Okay.
So one of the main messages of the satanic call is to invite the people, instead of going to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and helping him, to go towards Sufyani and helping him. And of course, it makes it very clear for the people which call is the heavenly call and which call is the satanic one.
Right.
And the second point is that, if you remember, I said that one of the messages of the heavenly call is that the truth is with Shia, with Imam Ali alayhi salam and his Shia and his followers. Now, this is also interesting. We know that in the history of Islam, I mean, at the time of the third caliph Uthman, toward the end of his caliphate, people, finally, they killed him.
Right.
Imam Ali salam tried very much to prevent his murder, but finally he was killed.
Right.
But after the Imam was asked by the people to become the caliph, some people tried to claim that it was Imam Ali alayhi salam who murdered Uthman.
Right.
And including those people who initiated the Battle of Jamal.
Okay.
Now, interestingly, now in this satanic call, a reference is made to the killing of Uthman again. And this is very interesting. And because we know that Uthman is a symbol of Banu Umayyah.
Okay.
And Sufyani is coming from the same progeny.
Right.
So by referring to this claim that Uthman was killed and he was oppressed, the Satan is trying to ask the people to go and help Sufyani.
Right.
Now, that is why some narrations refer to the fact that Uthman has been killed.
Right.
In an oppressive way. He was mazlum. He was oppressed. And the other message of the satanic call is that إِنَّ الْحَقَّ مَعَ عُثْمَانَ وَشِعَتِهِ, the truth is with Uthman and his followers, referring to Sufyani of that time. In the next session, I will try to the messages of, this was an introduction to this topic, but as I mentioned, the one of the main messages of this satanic call is that Uthman was killed in an oppressive way. He was oppressed, and he and his followers are with the truth, so people should follow Sufyani as one of the offsprings of the same progeny.
Right. Thank you so much, Dr. Karimi, for being with us. So actually, we have explored today the most important sacred events that's recorded in the narrations related to the reappearance of Imam. And this event is the event of Heavenly Cry, a celestial announcement, which would be heard by all the creatures of the universe. It has got importance, and it should not be overstated because it is related to the Imam of our time. It's a powerful reminder of Allah's mercy as well, and justice as well. Thank you so much for joining. Stay tuned for more enlightening discussions about the Imam of our time. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Where is the rising sun? Where is the spring of life? Where is the shining moon? Where is the firmest glow?
Everyone has a beloved, a new dear friend. But I have you, my dear. May God protect you, my dear. May God protect you.
IRIB English Radio, for those who seek the truth.
This is Back to Reality. Back to Reality.
Here's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners, sisters and brothers from all around the world. Welcome back to a new episode of your very favorite, Back to Reality. Well, I am Asma. I have the honor to be your host for today's episode. And as for the guests, we have two very dear ones, Sister Bita and Sister Zainab. Assalamu alaikum, sisters, and welcome to the studio.
Walaikum assalam. Thank you for having us.
And thank you for being here. Well, let's just start with Sister Bita.
Yeah.
Shall you please introduce yourself?
For sure. Assalamu alaikum. I am Bita and I'm studying medicine at one of the universities in Tehran. And again, I'm really happy that I have the chance and honor to be here with you too.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Thank you for having me. I am Zainab Askari and I am actually from Kashmir. I am done with my master's in linguistics and I have been living in Iran for some 9 years.
So wish you luck, guys, and thank you for being here. It's just honestly a great honor for me. So, well, previously in Back to Reality, we've been talking about how to be ourselves, how to keep it just the way it is, how to be changed, but not for the benefit of others, for just the mere fact of changing without thinking about it or without being aware of it. And I guess there's a lot more to talk about when it comes to changes in this modern world.
You know, I think there is this interesting fact that besides fact that people think that they're not changing, they're changing more than the past, you know?
Exactly.
You know, they are saying that, okay, no, I'm not going to change, but they are changing. You know, I think the underlying reason for this phenomenon that is happening is that when you go through the social media, you are changing the pages, the people that, you know, have a lot of things in common with you. So when you're following the pages that, you know, they do agree with whatever you think, you feel like you're not changing, you know, because maybe about 70% of whatever they are telling is exactly what you think about life. But when you go deep in this actually phenomenon, you will understand that this 30% or 20% of whatever they are telling or not or acting or whatever is exactly the opposite of what you think or what you are. And this 20% has a strong effect on you, and you cannot understand it consciously.
Yeah.
And this is, I think, the problem.
It will get in on
exactly
skin,
and
yeah,
I think this is the problem of social media, is that you feel like you're not changing, but actually these social medias are, you know, have their hands in each other to change you completely from one person to another one.
Yeah,
this is my opinion.
We should be open to changes. I know the world around us is changing at a very, very drastic speed without like the fact we can even imagine it. But I think we should be open to change. Like, for example, I'll say I love to write letters, and I love to only convey to people around with that writing system.
Yeah.
But that's now a traditional system. Now you have something you can do at a very fast pace. So I sometimes I have to take that influence, and I have to change with the time. Sometimes it could save my time, and yes, I could use traditional methods for sometimes to, you know, keep that beauty of that thing alive.
Yeah.
But I should not be used to that particular thing. Sometimes taking influence is very, very important. Like, it could expand our horizons. It could impact us positively.
It would help us improve, actually.
Exactly. We have experiences. We learn mm-hmm. around. But again, I would say, as we discuss in many of the episodes, moderation, keeping a balance. That's
exactly.
A
moderation.
Key thing.
But that moderation in this modern world is such a very drudgery.
That's a struggle.
Yeah.
We really have to learn that.
It's a battle, I would say. Every day we're in a battlefield, and then there's something else.
We're taking most of the influences, as Sister Beta said, from the social media as well. I would say it's bad to take influence from there. Like, these platforms have got a tremendous potential to increase our knowledge.
Exactly.
So what is important to, I think, media literacy is important.
Yeah, this
we should
is
be
more
educating
important.
Ourselves.
Exactly.
But at the same time, not taking any influence or not mm-hmm. changing with time is also not correct. So moderation is actually
key. Yeah, moderation is the key fact. Well, as you just said, when we say that we get influenced by other factors, by other people easily, it's not always for bad. Sometimes it's good to be affected by some people who are very good and very successful.
Like, take the religious sermons. You listen to a religious scholar in the, like, in Muharram Majalis, or like in Ramadan, or anytime else. That's, it could really expand your worldview.
Exactly. So before we get into more of that, let's go for a short break, and then we'll be back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
Yeah, sometimes it's really good to get the influence from the other people and change with their charismatic personality or with whatever they're doing, because sometimes some changes that come from the external world is going to improve you and develop you into this best version of yourself. So this is still Back to Reality. I am Asma, Sister Zainab and Sister Beta are with us in here, and we're talking about the changes that might happen to us throughout our lifetime. Well, it's not always bad to get changed. And we already have talked about it, that we have it in history, we have it in our religion, that some people meet a person and then that person would change their life drastically. Like, to get change through good qualities.
You know, there are, I think, some examinations in everybody's life, some difficulties, some, I don't know, some disasters. We can say that they happen in our lives. For example, losing some beloved persons in our
exactly.
lives. Just having a disease which is not curable. These are, I think, all the examinations that will lead to a big change in you.
The thing that happens in your mind for the very first moment that you understand that you have an incurable disease, then it's just a moment of a shock.
It is.
And that shock is going to change you totally.
And I cannot imagine just being in that situation.
Exactly.
You know, it's really scary.
Yeah, just imagine, I mean, when I just think about it, just imagining myself that I'm in the verge of a big, big, big change.
Yeah.
Like I would not have enough of time.
Yeah.
For living. So that's going to
and
be
you know,
so
I
harsh.
Think, the thing which matters here is the fear that you feel like you have a limited time. You have to do something. And
exactly.
this force is the
mm-hmm.
reason. Also, this fear can work exactly in the other way. Like, for example, you fear changing.
The key point again here is this, you know, balance. Even like Islam does not tell us like, no, don't listen to anything. Islam says that, you know, it says in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Holy Quran, Allazina yastami'una al-qawl fa yattabi'una ahsana. Listen to what is being said, but follow the best of it.
Exactly.
So, you know,
try to pick out the best one.
Exactly. So Islam does not tell, like, you know, do not mm-hmm. just keep yourself open to get influenced by the things. It tells you be mindful and select the best
exactly.
of it. Follow the best of it. The key is to strike a balance between being open to a positive influence taken from different sources. Like it could be, as I said, it could be religious scholars. I just remember I was listening to one of the speeches of, you know, Dr. Rafi, who is very, very famous. A religious scholar, and he was saying that there was a girl who came to him and she was thanking him like anything, and she was saying that this life of mine is just because of you. I was just about to finish my life. I was trying to commit a suicide, and but the TV was on, and within no time it was like, I don't know how your speech came about suicide, that suicide is haram. I never knew that suicide was haram. So, you know, it could actually guide you. Sometimes there are some things like these religious scholars, they could guide you, they can open your viewpoint on different things. There are many sermons or there are many books, there are many stories that could influence you, but take positive influence.
Exactly.
That's
as
very
in just
important.
Even in media, there are some changes that are happening into good. If you follow them, they would actually give your life an instruction, they would give you arrangement and discipline. But then there are some other parts about media that would change your life into the worst ever and possible format. So let's talk about this after the break. And yes, thank you for staying tuned. Yes, this is the last part of today's episode. We still are talking about the changes that might happen to us. Some of them are into good, some of them are not. We said that the key point is just to be aware of it, what's going on, and then have it in mind. The moderation is very important.
Yeah.
As we can see, in past, people were not that much attracted into gaining too much of money or, I don't know, buying new dresses or anything like that. But right now, as if there's a bombardment into their brain. Like, you feel like, I have to.
Yeah.
There is a competition and I should get into it. There is no way for me to just hold myself back.
You know what I think? As you know, this is mocked reality and reality is bitter always. And I think the reality of this modern world is that priorities are changing.
Exactly.
Unfortunately. And right now, in this modern world, just materialistic things like money, luxury things, luxury life, I don't know, the more you have, the better you are. Unfortunately,
exactly.
This is the priority of most of the people.
Yeah.
And this is the value. And when it becomes to something of value, it's really difficult to change it. And, I think at the end, this is something common in the society. You can see people that they have more money and they feel proud of themselves. And the self-satisfaction they gain by this money is really high that you think they may be true. But you have to just keep that in mind. At the end, this is the religion. That is the right way and the right path you have to follow. And this materialistic world is going to end here.
Exactly.
There is an afterlife. There is, I don't know, something there for you. And
there is
maybe,
something beyond our materialistic life, and
maybe
we should take care of it.
Just 10% of whatever we are is about this materialistic world. There is something more, and just we have to go for this something more because we deserve it.
Exactly. So since I think, there has always been aristocracy in this world, and there has been always these kind of people who were not a part of that aristocratic life.
Right.
But then right now, the thing which has changed is the bombardment. You feel like you have been brought up into the middle of a competition that you don't even want to.
Bombardment should be answered with bombardment. I think I should, in this world of bombardment, I should bombard myself with knowledge. I think you should equip yourself with Islamic knowledge, Islamic guidance.
Exactly.
That could actually help you to face the bombardment. I think in every case, especially in this case of, getting influenced so much from the materialistic world, is to have a personal reflection, regular introspection is extremely necessary, and self-awareness. My father did this very beautiful thing. He gifted us small diaries to all us, all the sisters, and said, "But at night, when you go to sleep, go for a regular introspection and write the good things.
Soul searching thing.
Right. Do the good things. Make two columns. Write good things, what you did. Write bad things. Ask for forgiveness for the bad things. Thank Allah for the good things. And may ask Him for the strength." So, I think this regular introspection is the key point. It's really necessary.
Not to lose yourself
exactly.
in the crowd.
You could, you are open to changes at the same time, and you're yourself at the same time. But if introspection and self-awareness is not there, and you're not mindful of what's happening around, then you could go away with the wind. You could go away with the way whatever is happening
exactly.
around.
Exactly.
And equip yourself with Islamic knowledge.
Exactly. And knowledge always would just flourish the best of you. So you have to go for it every now and then. And
these influences or all these changes should be taken, I think, to convert yourself into the best version of yourself.
Exactly, yeah. To just give the very gist, I would say that change has got two aspects. One is good and the other one is not good. If you are going to change into a better you, then it's very good. The crowd you have picked is very good for you. The media that you're following is good for you. If it's bringing the best out of you. But then if not, it's changing you into this very devilish sort of a person, into this materialistic person who gets so much engaged in all this materialistic stuff, then I guess you have to think about it twice. So, yeah, thank you for staying with us in today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you, Sister Zainab, and thank you, Sister Bita.
Thank you.
Well, this was all. I hope you enjoyed it. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي لدي أمة رزقك يا الله يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي لدي أمة رزقك Let us see daylight again, once again.
Love for Imam Hussein.
We are still in the city of Najaf. Thousands of people are heading towards the city of Karbala. They're going there to visit Imam Hussein's shrine on Arba'in, which marks the 40th day of the martyrdom of the Imam, to commemorate and recall the greatest event in the history of Islam, which is the martyrdom of Imam Hussein in Karbala.
El martirio de Imam Hussein en Karbala. En esta misma ciudad.
This is the same city which has for years been the venue of the most important seminaries by the family of Prophet Muhammad. These seminaries are where thousands of scholars have gained their awareness and knowledge so they'd be able to present it to the people across the world. The Seminary of Najaf, the International Seminary of Najaf.
International de Najaf.
We are in one of the streets of Najaf. All people are heading towards Imam Ali's holy shrine to bid farewell to him and start heading in the direction of Karbala. We are heading toward Imam Ali's holy shrine. We will be there after passing a few blocks. It'll surely be extremely difficult as hundreds of pilgrims wish to enter this holy shrine at the same time. We are now in Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib's holy shrine, alayhi salam. People have gathered here at his tomb for pilgrimage and to pray. In order for Imam Ali to intercede with God on their behalf, to have a world with a better sense of humanity. As said in the Quran, as the Prophet Muhammad has pointed out, and as Ali ibn Abi Talib, Hussein ibn Ali, and all other imams under their banner have said, there is no God but Allah. People have gathered in the holy city of Najaf under the banner of peace and love to show the world that Islam is not terrorism and it has nothing to do with decapitation and war. Islam is the guardian of love and peace. The pilgrims here head for the holy city of Karbala after visiting Imam Ali's shrine in the holy city of Najaf. They begin a long walk of about 80 kilometers on a path that's called the Tunnel of Light, as it links a father to his son. I mean, it links Imam Ali to Imam Hussein. Gathering such a large group of people in one place requires a lot of effort. But there is a mystery about Imam Hussein for the world to suddenly change only when Arba'een comes and for millions of people to join their popular gathering without any advertisement, without any media, without any bribe or payment, without an invitation, without having ever met these people, and without any phone calls. What is this mystery? What is there in Imam Hussein to attract such a large number of people? Just today, many of these people were saying that there is only one mystery. Imam Hussein sacrificed his whole being for God, and God gave him everything in return. In fact, this is a great procession of catering and hospitality, a massive procession consisting of self-sacrifice and compassion. Today, we even saw people who offered massage services and gave people sweet drinks and tea for them not to become exhausted. They placed dates, sweets, etc. in large trays on the way. This is indeed a unique and unrivaled phenomenon.
Un fenómeno inigualable, incomparable. A cada momento encontramos lugares.
Every minute, we come across areas where medical services are offered. Serums are offered to those in need. Small surgeries are carried out. People are given the medicine they need, and you can see pharmacies and specialized doctors. The doctors work in shifts, and if required, you can see a doctor or a dentist. It's about 1 o'clock in the morning,
and we're still on the way to Karbala. We have bid farewell to Najaf, and we're heading toward Imam Hussein's shrine. We will reach his shrine in the next few days. Many people around us are sleeping. To our right, people are resting, and to our left, local civilians are providing their services. They're preparing the lunch for tomorrow. They serve tea, coffee, and water to the millions of people who have come here to show their love for the family of the Prophet and Imam Hussein.
Su amor por Ahlul Bayt, su amor por el Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
As you can see, there are no five-star hotels here. There are no big restaurants and luxurious houses. This is the School of Love. For instance, we can see many people staying in tents. They have put aside all limitations. There is no racial, historical,